Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, we try to help Matt with song suggestions for Belmont, his hits from your hood.
Our man at the Dockers, Andy Brayshaw, takes us through his catch-up with Lachie Neal.
And we ask for your awkward dinner party moments.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. Clean Heat, proudly bringing you The Big Breakfast on the go and helping WA life flow.
Shut up! The boy is on the radio!
He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL.
Brayshaw, brilliant goal!
And he's our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
The problem with being home for 2 days, I've watched the game five times because I was homesick. Not sick enough to not watch the footy. A great 1 point win after the siren. Eddie, good to see you, mate.
Good to see you guys too. I heard you lost your voice at the footy screaming for us after
mate.
The siren.
I did, yeah. Funny that, isn't it? Yeah. Good reason to have 2 days off.
And now, look, we called Lachie Neal for his birthday last week. And while he didn't answer the phone, I hear that Lachie did join you guys out for a celebration at Benny's after the game.
Yes, I think he wanted it to be a draw. We went out for dinner afterwards at Benny's. Just caught up with him and his wife, and yeah, it was good to see him and the family. So a few of the boys went, and it was a really good night.
I heard there were lots of boys there. Did you make some fans?
Yeah, we had, I think it was an East Fremantle football team that were there as well at dinner, and they couldn't believe their eyes when they saw half the Dockers team walking in and Lockie as well. So we got some photos with them and signed a few things, and yeah, that made their night, I think.
Oh, cute. Great.
And mate, really, you know, positive for start to the year. I say start to the year, already at round 10. There you are in the eight, and I noticed the Eagles are fifth, and I'm surprised the media hasn't gone, if things stay the same, they'll meet in the first week of the finals.
Yeah, I know. It is really good to get that win. We were just talking about it before, the difference between 6-4 and 5-5. It sounds like really big, and it feels really big. So there's been a lot of games where we thought we could have won, and we've just let it slip, so it really meant a lot to get that win.
You could see that, yeah.
Yeah, it's happened with Freo a couple of times in the last 3 years. Dave Mundy kicked a goal after the siren against Richmond at the G. And what's it like as a player on the field? You're a teammate. You've got one teammate that's got the full responsibility to win the game, and he didn't balk when the siren went either. He went ahead with his kick.
Yeah, it's can be nerve-wracking, I think. I've been in a final in my junior career when we had a player after the siren kick a goal, and that was great. But if I had to pick two players that I wanted to kick after the siren, it would be Dave and Sonny. So I had a lot of confidence in Sonny. He's got probably one of the best set shots at the club and is a big moment player. So when he took the mark and the siren went, I looked at Fifey and I just thought, Sonny's going to go back and at least score. That's what I was definitely thinking. And then after he kicked it, I thought it might drop short, but it got there and hit the post. And it was probably the best feeling that I've had in a very long time.
When you're about to walk out on stage at the Sydney Comedy Store, the last thing you see is a sign saying you're about to die on your ass.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
Eden football, is it? Would it be absolutely no go for to someone to walk past Sonny and go, "Don't miss it, mate. Don't stop it."
I wouldn't be saying anything to him. Just let him go through his routine.
The routine's important.
But it's also, you know, if you kick a point in third quarter, you get angry boss eyes from Ross. But you kick that point after the siren and you're a hero.
It's a little bit interesting when you think about it like that, because you know Sonny would usually be down on himself for kicking a point, but it got the win, so that's all that we needed.
It was a beautiful sound thumping into the post. What about cuddly kissy Ross Lyon?
He was very happy after the game getting around the boys, which is it's good, I guess showing your emotion after the game. You know, he's a passionate man and he definitely wanted us to get that win as much as anyone. So it was great to see him getting around the boys after the game.
And now reset. And I guess it's one of the biggest challenges in the game at the moment, Collingwood at the MCG.
Yeah, exactly right. They are definitely one of the most formidable teams this year. And we've definitely got our work cut out for us, but we're going to get on the bird on Thursday morning and get over there and try and get the win.
Okay, mate. Formidable. Such a good word, isn't
it? It's a great word. Yeah.
Mate, well, how's life post Game of Thrones? What are you doing with yourself? Well, you're watching something else. What are you doing?
I've got uni exams coming up over the next few weeks.
Don't worry about that, so you'll be right.
Yeah, save the dragons.
A few of the boys are pretty flat. On our first Monday night after Game of Thrones, everyone came in the next day and just said, what are we doing?
Is that why Ross was so emotional?
That's why.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, mate, good to see you. Good luck against the Pies on the weekend.
Thanks very much, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Coburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, Eastvic Park, the places between. Home was where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt. Hits from your hood.
Yes, Belmont.
Belmont. It's
Belmont. On Friday, I'll be dropping the song. And, of course, yesterday, myself and Captain Paul and producer Tom and Dan the Internet went out to Belmont to do a little bit of filming.
The Belmont Boys.
We went to Tomato Lake.
Oh, did you really?
Isn't that lovely little spot?
It's beautiful, absolutely. And, you know, saw all of the sights. There's a lot to do in Belmont.
Yeah, it's a big city. Yeah. Like, big town, big suburb.
And I won't hear about the Forum being in Cloverdale or the Belmont Racetrack being in Burswood. I don't care.
No, you don't care?
I don't care. Yeah. What are borders?
Yeah, it's still Belmont to us.
It's all Belmont.
I tell you what, though, speaking of, you know, we had Jack Allen's son's birthday from the pressure test today. Well, another Jack that we all know very well is your tipper, Jack.
My footy tipping mate, Jack.
And his beautiful mum, Tanya.
Tanya, she's fantastic.
Tanya, big pun, works at Belmont Park, got us in.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
And so we were there, you know, it's weird. It's quite wonderful and weird when, you know, you're there and there's no one else there.
Yeah, did you have a running race down the track?
No, but Captain Paul may have flown his drone in a few little places.
Flown his drone.
So obviously it gets to this time where I'm kind of going, I think I know what I'm going to do, but I'm happy to be swayed. So,
yeah, okay. This is a tough one. If anyone out there, if you've got a song suggestion for Matt with Belmont that fits Belmont, and you can throw in a couple of lines or whatever, think of it now. 133353. We'd
Please,
love to hear from you.
Because we're encouraging you to get a little creative with it as well.
We always love that.
I'm not going to lie; I don't feel confident about mine this week.
Well, you're up first. So,
am I?
Are you nervous?
All right, give it to me.
Okay, we'll give it a go. All right, let's go.
You tell me. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, a bit of an intro while I rap.
No, nothing wrong with that.
You know I love a rap.
Yeah, you do.
I skate up to Reading Cinemas just before 8 and I yelled to the locals, "Oh, meth, with you later. Grab me some popcorn and fresh vol-au-vents," and sat on my throne as the Queen of Belmont.
Hey!
Oh!
Queen of Belmont!
Wow.
Meth with you later?
It was on meth with you later. Sorry, Belmont.
Look at you getting modern with your 30-year-old rap.
Who are you, Will Smith and Aladdin? Well, you did say you think Paul has flown his drone. Was that a euphemism?
Well,
no.
Yeah.
Haven't had his song yet.
It was tough. You know, it's not an easy one.
That was good.
I had to rhyme vol-au-vents because I couldn't rhyme anything with Belmont.
I enjoyed that.
He did that.
Have you got one, Cap?
Have you got one,
mate? Yeah, mine's a winner, obviously.
Oh, is it?
Hit it.
I think, yeah, here we go.
Greatest suburb in Perth.
Oh, no. Showbiz.
Our cinema rules.
Nice. Oh.
Get to Reading, you fools.
Sinatra.
Oh.
I want to be a part of it. Belmont, Belmont.
Oh, Molly!
Molly!
Captain Paul.
Oh, you are cranky.
Start changing your song, man.
He's got,
hell.
He's got a beautiful voice, Captain Paul. Yes. He often sings out there when we're listening to music at Mix here, and he just sort of hums along in the background, but he's got a lovely voice.
Oh, he's the Michael Bublé of Perth radio.
Mate, you got to do Vegas. I think Vegas is next for you.
All those times we've called him Old Crona. We were meant to say Crona.
Crona. Yeah. old Crona. Should we do one that Eagles fans will light up when they hear the start of this one? It sort of gets people going, doesn't it? It feels like you're walking into domain to see the boys get another 4 points. And a little bit later on, I'm going to get you guys to join in the chorus, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Let's go, Belmont. Now listen. Oh, we're stepping out. Down Abernathy Road. Gonna turn around once and we do the Belmont Rock.
Woo!
Hey, mama. Reading Cinemas swell. They do popcorn so well. Yeah, we do it so well when we do the Eagle Rock.
Hey. Mama. Oh, shit, sorry.
The Forum is fine. Why don't you give it a try? Oh, give it a try when we do the Belmont Rock.
Hey!
Belmont Rock, do you stay? I'm just crazy about the way we move.
I do it with
the way you
Bit
move.
Soon.
Do you win the Belmont Rock?
I think we went prematurely.
Oh, nah.
Yeah. Nice of the team to join in, though.
Gee whiz, they are all awesome suggestions. Well,
you know, I'm getting flashbacks to the original meeting when we said, who wants to do these suburban songs? I'm starting to see why Matt got the gig.
I think we know good.
Hey, 133353, can you top that? Or even if you can't, we'd love to hear from you.
Give us a song. Call up. Tell us what song Matt should do, and we'll try and make it work. Sing a line for us.
Yeah, beautiful. And we can join in just a little early.
Yes. Sorry.
That was funny. Wait a minute.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Yes, we're talking all about Belmont for my Friday hits from your hood. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been in great form today.
Have we really?
You have, absolutely, particularly Captain Paul.
Captain Paul's was a gem, wasn't it?
We try to put forward suggestions to help Matt with his hits from your hood, none of which he's taken so far, but he has taken listener suggestions before.
Yes, I have. Oh, you have switched, haven't you?
And rolled with it. So we want to hear from you guys. Jenny in Beckenham.
Beckenham.
Hey, Jen. You reckon you got a little bit of a song for Matt he can use?
Yeah, not singing it, but I'm thinking, what about I'm friends with the Bell Monsters who live in my street, based on the Rhiannon song.
Oh,
the Bell Monsters.
It's under my bed, yeah.
Oh, see, maybe you do need to sing it. It's like we're not contemporary enough to know it.
Oh, aren't you?
No.
Okay, so I have to sing it. I'm not a very good singer.
No, well, nor is Captain Paul, but you have it a great dog.
That's not a prerequisite, Jenny, don't worry.
Not to get on this show, Jen.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, go.
I'm friends with the monsters who live under my bed. So your version would be, I'm friends with the Bell Monsters who live in my street.
Cute. Cute. I like Bell Monsters.
And it reminds me, Jenny, I've got to broaden my musical horizons. I'm just stuck in the 70s.
Well, yeah. Put a bit of Rhiannon on. You'll love her.
And if it's Rhiannon, she's going to say it three times. Bell Monsters, Bell Monsters. She can't help herself. Thanks, Jenny.
Good on you, Jenny.
Okay, cheers. Thanks.
Next, we'll have Queen Bee, Beyonce. Let's go to Rockingham. G'day, Becky.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Becky. Have you got yourself a little tune for Belmont for Maddie?
It's got to be Life is a Highway.
Oh. Ooh, okay. Okay. Have you got some lyrics in there for us you can sing?
I'll give it a go.
Come on, Becky. Have a crack.
Great Eastern Highway, that's where you'll find me in Belmont.
Ooh.
Hey.
Oh, geez.
Tommy Cochran.
That's good.
Go,
Beck. That is good. Any like more, that. Beck?
No, that's all I thought, but I think that's the winner.
That was good.
Excellent.
Great Eastern Highway.
Ah, right, that's a good one.
That's such a really good one.
Good song there, Tommy Cochran.
Damn.
Thanks,
you,
Becky.
That's
my
really
pleasure.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beck.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. Where do you go now?
Great Eastern Highway. I gotta find me in Belmont.
That's a good one.
That's really good.
I don't know what you're going to do now, mate.
Back to the drawing board. Another sleepless night.
Maddie's hit script. Oh, here we go.
Well, she's really onto something.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, Matt's going to drop his Belmont hits from your hood on Friday.
Yeah.
On Friday.
All night long.
So stop it. It's
tune
too
in
good.
And see
Sorry,
what he goes
mate.
With.
It's going to be stuck in your head. And we'll get you the best of Rihanna as well.
Oh, thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Now, I'm sure you guys have had the conversation. I guess everyone has, like, if you could pick four people, dead or alive, who you would like to have for a dinner party, Nelson Mandela always comes up, right?
True. Yeah. Oh, Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, you know, John Lennon would be in my, you know, certainly. Mm. And you know, it's I always enjoy meeting larger-than-life characters, you know, regardless of what I think of him. I'm glad I got to meet Clive Palmer in the flesh.
Right.
You know, this person who's been so much in my face, I want to see what the man's like, you know, energetically and et cetera.
You wouldn't have got a lot of dinner out of it at a dinner party.
No, I wouldn't.
A lot of conversation, but not much of the food. But he is like a cartoon character when you're sitting in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's so famous.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, of course, one of the biggest characters on the planet at the moment is the Donald.
He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So dinner with him would be interesting enough, right?
Sure.
So weird.
Be weird. And I've got a feeling that most of the stories would relate to the Donald. Right? You wouldn't get a, you know, and what do you do? Oh, I do Perth. Anyway, let me tell you about me. So the other day I saw in the news that Donald was having dinner with the Queen.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Now, that's one thing.
That's an odd pairing.
An odd pairing because, I mean, the Donald, would, as I said, he would talk a lot about himself and say, I've got tremendous wealth, and she'd be going, I own England.
Well, yeah. You know. And they're both polite enough to get along and make it work.
Oh, I don't think the Queen suffers fools.
I don't
you know.
Think so. Well, it depends if you patted the corgis, I guess.
Yeah, it would have been weird enough, right? But then it wasn't just them. Theresa May.
Oh, no.
The outgoing Prime Minister.
So they'd be talking.
Not okay, a good time for Theresa
no,
to be at a dinner
party. No, she'd be
at
the other end of the table crying, going, yeah. I could have got Brexit through.
Yeah. You know? And now there are 10 people putting their hands up for a job.
And I just thought, that would be so... I would love to be a fly on the wall at that dinner party.
Oh, how incredibly awkward. And Donald has a way with words. Well, he doesn't have a way
with
words, which is the problem.
Oh, but also, it, even if they, you know, as you say, you want to meet certain characters if you have dinner and you think, yeah, it'll be fun, but you never know when it's going to turn awkward.
No,
sometimes
right,
you can
yeah.
have the best crowd there. Yeah. It can be a great... I had a an ex-boyfriend and I had a huge fight on the way to a friend's wedding.
Oh, no.
And it was a big fight.
Right.
And it was like a, you know, I hated him.
Right.
And
right.
I was staring at his face at this dinner at this friend's wedding, trying around everybody who's yeah. in love.
Gina, yeah, no, you're going to a place
Everyone's
of love.
Everyone's in love.
Go to the chapel and we're...
And I just was like, it was the most awkward dinner. Oh. It was so awkward.
And the pumpkin gnocchi felt like, it tasted like acid in your mouth.
Well, and because you're meeting strangers, so they're doing the whole, how long have you two been together? Together,
yeah.
And I'm thinking,
Telling
not for much longer. You know, it was just horrible.
Can you top the Donald Trump or the Kimber story? I mean, the Donald Trump at dinner is bad enough, but that's horrible. That's a personal kind of anecdote.
Oh, and I have been at a dinner party when the couple hosting are clearly arguing.
Oh, isn't that awful? especially if they're friends and hearing them argue and everyone's giving that, they're just joshing. Actually, no,
you could hear. We could hear them from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Don't put it there.
Oh,
you know, the
no.
kind of
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Now, dinner parties should be a delight, dining with friends and new interesting people. But, of course, if they do get awkward, it is quite a confined space. There's nowhere to go.
You can't escape.
No, you can't.
Kimber, you did mention going to someone's wedding, having a fight with your boyfriend. It's awkward at dinner at the wedding, right?
Oh, God.
But how about the dinner party at my place many, many years ago, planning a wedding? And having an in-law there and discussing and then upsetting someone over which guests were getting invited.
Oh
my God. Talk about things heading south really quickly.
I bet.
Oh, and Auntie Betty, who's not a real auntie, was coming and she was sitting next to, you know, Uncle Joe. I'm going, really?
Yep.
There you go.
It's always awkward like that.
Horrible.
We want to know if you can out-awkward Donald Trump
Theresa
Queen. May and the Queen.
Theresa May.
Having dinner together. Gordon's in Yanchep. Gordon, tell us about your awkward dinner.
And it wasn't mine, it was actually my son. His girlfriend was actually a flight attendant for Virgin, and the top 10 or 20 flight attendants in a quarter or period were invited to Richard Branson's home for dinner.
Okay.
And then to one of his nightclubs afterwards, and my son was obviously there, were invited, and he went.
Yep.
So the evening was progressing nice, exotic champagne. He says the house is something to die for. And then it was dinner time, and they were sitting at the table, and this one Muppet was busy telling Richard Branson how to make money.
Oh, no.
What you should do.
That is so embarrassing.
What should you do?
No, that's what that person was saying to Richard Branson. No, what you should do, mate.
Yeah. Start with a record company. Yeah.
You need to invest in aeroplanes.
Then you can branch out into credit cards, yeah.
That's
well, absolutely. But, you know, like my son said, he wants to drag this guy into a hole in the ground. He says, where's your brain, mate?
Right. And you do wonder, Gordon, if that person woke up the next morning and thought, oh, did I just try and tell Richard Branson how to make money?
Yeah, shouldn't have had that extra champagne.
Yeah. My son said he was just a muppet. He was a sinker of plank.
I love that
and,
word.
That's funny.
We've got photographs of Richard Branson with my son.
I reckon Richard would have been very gracious while that guy was saying that too.
Oh, man. Mm. My son says quite a character.
Yeah.
In fact, Richard Branson and my son were like just... He actually met Richard on three occasions. And one was flying back from his island. And my son got bumped up to business class or first class for a while.
Hey.
And he sat and chatted to Richard Branson in first class on that flight.
Beautiful. Yeah, he's a sweet man.
Oh, that's great. On the way back from Necker.
Bloody
Thanks,
hell.
Thanks, Gordon.
Nice. Yeah, nice one. Let's go to Bertram. Heidi, what was your awkward dinner?
Hi. Oh. We were invited to a colleague's dinner party. We'd never been to her house before.
Yeah. Mm.
My husband, myself and my six-year-old son were invited to a curry evening, and we were told to be there at 5:30. So we arrived at 5:30 because we're never late. And
well done.
As we rocked up at the door, she told us, "You're late."
Oh.
We walked into the house. We weren't offered a drink. The food was on the table already in dishes, not on heaters. Mm. And we sat down. By the time we'd eaten and cleaned up, we were in time to watch the 6 o'clock news.
What?
And,
right.
Yep. And then the husband then progressed to take out his Nintendo and play Nintendo for the remainder of the evening with my 6-year-old son while we sat quietly watching the news.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yuck.
That's entertainment.
Yeah. Oh. That's the best thing ever.
Although the good news is, Heidi, you've already eaten, so by 6:30 you can be like, well, time to head to bed. Thanks so much. We're off.
I know. We could catch a Netflix movie as well. It was brilliant.
Get home in time to see Monty Kosh.
Oh, that's incredible.
Absolutely.
Today. Hey, Heidi, before you go, how beautiful is Bertram this morning?
Oh, it's gorgeous. The sunrise is absolutely amazing.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful. Nothing awkward about that.
There's a big old building in Subi that's blocking the sunrise for us right
see,
now.
Yeah, you can see little bits and pieces and a few shadows.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Can someone pass the tissue, please?
You see, there could be panic at the disco if someone walks in who's clearly got a flu.
Not good, although I'm lucky. I think I've got a scratchy throat and a bit of a cold for a couple of days.
Yeah, I reckon the biggest problem with flu season is people not being able to identify the difference between a flu and a cold.
Well, what is the difference, Kimber?
Well, a flu, you would normally end up with migraine, muscle aches. It's far more intense. A cold could still last 3 weeks, but it's basically sniffles and sneezing, coughing, bit of a sore throat. Yeah. But it's nowhere near as intense as a flu.
Not as full on as influenza.
But people always seem to say, "Oh, I just got a bit of a flu. I've had the flu. You just don't. It's a cold most times."
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Dr. Kimber will tell us all about tinea.
This is true.
Well, she's an expert, ain't it?
You know, serious colds are pretty uncomfortable for sure.
What makes me laugh is some of the things that people think are true, right? So someone found out the other day that I was not well and said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I think I've just got a bad cold. Mm-hmm. So I'll be okay. I'll probably be back at work midweek. But then they said, "Oh, but didn't you have a flu?" This is a family member. "Didn't you have a flu jab last week?" I said, "Yeah, I did." It's got nothing to do with it.
No.
Sorry, folks, you're not going to get a cold from a flu jab.
But it does look like we are entering a fairly significant flu season.
True.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers of people, unfortunately, who have passed away from flu is higher than it was this time last year. But also the reported cases of influenza are like double.
Yeah.
And we haven't even entered into flu season proper.
No, but that's why they're saying they've also run out of some vaccines at some pharmacies because people are going, "Well, I'll try and be proactive. Yeah. I'll go and get myself a flu vaccine." But there's a bit of a shortage right now.
I got a jab on, I think it was Wednesday of last week, and I was at a pharmacy in Sorrento, and the girl there said she'd done 105 the previous day. That's a lot for a pharmacy
to do.
That's
a personal best.
105?
You know what,
break the world record.
I reckon we could just improve some of our practices. Like, people keep coming to work when they're sick. We've got people who come to this workplace. Mm. You're not a workplace hero. You're an actual pain in the ass.
I'm proud of staying home in bed for the last 2 days.
Yeah, because you protect the whole team by doing that.
That's right.
That's what you should do.
And I handed it on to my wife. Isn't she happy?
Look, you know, Claire, you would have missed this, but I did the Nine News yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah.
And on there, I made the comment that, you know, it's got to come from the bosses.
Yeah.
Right? The only reason people are getting up going, "I don't feel well, but I have to go to work," is if they feel that their job is in jeopardy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Surely.
Yeah. Or they think that they're irreplaceable.
Stuff won't get done.
Irreplaceable, that's what you are.
New research is revealing that more than half, so 54% of Australians will still show up to work despite being sick, and one in five have too much work to take a sick day.
There are so many stats floating around, aren't there? I mean, I have heard that, you know, and the girl who gave us the jab the other day, she said they try their best. It's not
that.
What? You can't not get around it. Right? So the girl who gave us the jab the other day, just want to get it in to see your face. She said that they try and work it out from the Northern Hemisphere what has gone on, but they can't guarantee. It's like four strains they cover. So they can't guarantee you won't get the flu. But I did hear a story about a researcher who got really sick, Australian researcher. She researched into influenza and she got sick. And she said within 3 days, she goes, "I thought I was going to die. It was that bad."
Oh, really?
Yeah, awful. Yeah. And this is a healthy woman in her 30s.
Oh, yeah, when you get the flu. I've only had it once, but it's terrible. So stay home. If you're sick, stay home.
Oh, Cap.
I feel like I'm going to be a little bit sick tomorrow.
You think you might?
Work, to get a four-day weekend.
Oh, yes, of course.
Look in the crystal ball. Well done.
Workplace hero.
Blame Claire-Z. Good on you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
608.
Hey. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Achoo. Twist.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jordan missed.
All right, my friends, Jose Sims. He is a wanted man.
Is he really? A wanted man.
A wanted
man.
Jose. Yes. Connecticut Police Department, like a lot of police departments these days, uses social media to get the photos of wanted felons out there.
Sure.
And in a very sort of modern twist, Jose Sims has seen his own wanted poster up there and said, look, I'll do you a deal.
Yep.
If my post, my wanted poster, goes viral and I get 15,000 likes, I'll turn myself in.
Oh, really?
Now, many questions here. One is, who likes a wanted poster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to go into that. But and originally, Mr. Sims, maybe he's got tickets on himself. He said 20,000. But the Connecticut Police Department negotiated it down.
Oh, they always got the good negotiator
in there. To 15,000.
So the felon wants to be an influencer as well.
He certainly does. Now, they've already got 19,000 likes, so 4,000 over the agreed amount.
Right.
But it seems there is no honour amongst thieves.
Oh.
Because Jose has not turned himself in.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, he's busy harnessing his new popularity.
Yeah, yeah. He's celebrating festivals around the world.
He's an Instagram model
He's an Instagram model.
He's in a getaway car somewhere.
Well, there you go.
Don't
make deals with Jose.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
So we do it this morning for Clean Heat, the WA gas company helping life flow.
Yeah, you can enjoy your ongoing revalue. I'm making that up.
Mm.
Enjoy ongoing value rewards and exclusive customer benefits with our mates at Clean Heat.
Yes, Clean Heat make gas so easy, your life can just flow, bit like the gas.
It's very cute. You can revalue yourself, enjoy ongoing value, rewards, exclusive customer benefits, and today, watch your savings grow.
Yeah, visit cleanheat.com.au or call 13 21 80 to switch today.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Introduce the CEO of Breast Cancer Research Centre WA, Carmelo Arto. Good morning, mate. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Carmelo, the Breast Cancer Research Centre do a wonderful job in WA. For those who aren't as familiar with what you guys do, what sort of facilities have you have and what processes do you put in?
We're actually Australia's busiest breast cancer research unit, and all our research are pharmaceutical trials, so patients get access to treatment as soon as they come in. So our clinicians have in their toolbox what sometimes would not be approved for 3 to 5 years. So we're a high-end treatment facility, and we're going to add soon psychological services to that, so support services as well.
And Carmelo, Day to Donate, of course, is an initiative to get people to think that any day is a good day to donate to such a worthy cause. There are a lot of causes out there, and I guess people want to know, well, where is my money going exactly?
We're quite different in terms of the charity setup. Our research covers our operating costs. So any donations that we get go to additional services. Oncology fellows, oncologists that do research, breast care nurses, and also we will have a clinical psychologist in the new centre. So the money goes towards that. So it goes directly to additional services that benefit our patients and their families.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Carmelo, this is close to my heart. As people who listen to the show regularly know, I lost my mum last year to breast cancer, and I'm not alone. There are so many people out there affected. So it's not just the patients, it's the families as well. But why the new centre, you know, starting the first half of next year and opening up, you know, grand day. Why is it such a game changer?
It's a game changer because our uniqueness is the fact that we do so much research,
yep,
and our research has global impact. At least 13 of our projects have enhanced breast cancer treatment worldwide. To have support services under the one roof is fairly unique Australia-wide. And we're also going to have things like radiation oncology downstairs. It also helps facilitate treatment for metropolitan patients, but also we have a lot of regional, interstate patients, and people that come from overseas. So we can coordinate their treatment all at once in the one building. It is a game changer because it is also a family-centred building, catering for patients, partners, and families.
Well, we really support Day to Donate. As Maddie said, it can be any day. And, you know, there's many reasons why people do donate. They might have had a family member affected by this. Even for a purely selfish reason, it feels good to help others. Mm. So make this your day to donate. We would love you to give what you can and help these facilities. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Clean Heat, hope you enjoyed the show. Now let life flow. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.